getting me, Carlos Medina, Chris Mooneyham, and Sean Nerney from the second annual Tailgates and Touchdowns. This is the soft opening of 680's College Game Day. You'll see us all around town starting next week. We'll be basically bringing you all the college football action, what's going on, commenting on the games, promoting the games, talking about what's going on in the games, a lot of times taking you up to that 3:30 kickoff. And another man who I think this is probably going to be maybe his last weekend before he's going to be scrambling all across the Southeast. It's Chip Towers over from the AJC. You can follow him at Chip Towers AJC, also with Dog Nation as well. Chip, so this has got to be that last weekend of, all right, get out with the family on a Saturday, enjoy yourself, and then it's all football for the next 4 months.
This is my last respite. And where do I come? Tailgates and touchdowns, of all things. But, you know, this is really a cool thing you guys got going. I mean, live music playing right now, and I got a 9-year-old boy. He's digging the bouncy houses. And
so am I.
And all the other stuff they got going on here. But, yeah, this is pretty much it, you know. It gets down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, I wrote a pretty extensive piece this morning on Kirby Smart. It ran this morning on Kirby Smart, the man you don't know off the field. And that's kind of my last big reader. After this, it's, you know, quarterbacks, tailbacks, you know, and the matchup against North Carolina, Carlos. And let me tell you, man, I mean, there's a lot of great games in this first weekend. But, you know, and I think this one's probably not getting – nationally, maybe as much attention as some of those others, but in terms of matchup, 18 versus 22, offense versus defense in the Georgia Dome neutral site, I think this has got all the elements. Kirby Smart's first game, and you know, I'm just ready to get it going, you know.
And this is what's decidedly different when it comes to a lot of these matchups to me. Like, you know, right now Clemson is obviously one of the top teams in the country. Auburn, and we're figuring out what they are, that has potential to get out of hand. LSU and Wisconsin, LSU is one of those top programs in the country. It's a great venue, but it might not be the great game. I think you're absolutely right. When you take a look at these teams in North Carolina and Georgia, maybe the two closest in this sort of matchup, and the things that North Carolina showed as far as vulnerabilities last year to give up running yards, okay, that's exactly what Georgia wants to be as a team. This does have that opportunity for maybe 5 o'clock next Saturday ends up being one of your best games of the day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure that North Carolina is going to be better than they were last year when they gave up 645 yards to Baylor in the Russell Athletic Bowl. But that said, that is their vulnerability. So as much as we've been talking about quarterbacks, and it is important, it's going to be important in that game, obviously Georgia's got to pound the rock. They've got to pound the rock. And the biggest thing they need to do to that end, it's already happened. Number 27's out there. Worst secret I've ever seen in my life, I'm trying to say, is Nick Chubb going to play? I've sat there and watched him from you're going into preseason camp, is he going to practice? He practiced the very first day all the way out. He hasn't missed a practice the whole time. I watched him go from a big bulky brace to a littler brace to a littler brace to this week no brace at all.
Wow.
Hey, I'm going to say it. Nick Chubb's going to play. He's going to be your primary tailback. Now, Sony, we don't know. But I'm telling you, it's going to come right down to it. And it kind of, to me, kind of depends on how important is this game to Kirby Smart and that whole regime. Because if you want to err on the side of caution, you don't play Sony Michel. But if this game is truly, really important to you, then you try to put number one on the field.
Chip Towers at the AJC and Dog Nation joins us right here on 680 The Fan.
Inside the program, from what you're getting a feel, and you're there obviously very close to it, how do they feel about the wide receivers? We've spent a lot of time talking about the need for Georgia to have two, three, and really in my four guys that have now been in the program for at least a year or two in many cases, guys that have to emerge. We've got to see Jason Stanley, Michael Chigbu, maybe even Shaquenneth Williams finally step up and do something.
Oh, Javon Wims is a name that I've heard a lot late. Now, I didn't hear it early on in camp, but I'm seeing him in the rotation right now. But I'll have to tell you this. I mean, I do believe wide receiver is a concern, not just, you know, for the fan base, but I think inside the coaches' offices right now. I mean, I've heard a lot about drops during these scrimmages and things like that, balls that should have been caught. Now, that said, you know, I think Terry Godwin is the real deal.
Yeah.
I think they've been really happy with Chigbu. Chigbu's come a long way. He's emerging as that kind of sophomore you're looking for. You're hearing some stuff about Javon Wims lately, and then certainly Riley Ridley, the freshman. We know what his brother did over at Alabama as a freshman. I think those guys have potential. That said, I don't think they're going to be, you know, I don't think they're everything because of that tight end group. And as we talked about earlier, the tailbacks, I don't think you're going to be terribly dependent on this guy, but you're right. You need that second and third receiver.
Hey, Chip, okay, so this past week we had Kirby announce that Jacob Eason's going to be running with the ones. Next week he's going to be running with the ones.
Yeah.
Is this his job to lose? Have they basically set him up playing with the ones, seeing how he reacts, and they're basically giving him next week to see if he continues to progress or if they go with Lambert? I mean, is this his job to lose going into next week?
Well, let me say this. I don't necessarily believe that, okay? All right, I think we see what we see during the media period. We see what they want us to see.
Sure.
And I really think what's happening right now is and I'm on record. I wrote at dognation.com to extended detail that I believe Grayson Lambert's going to be your quarterback in the game to start with. I think the North Carolina game plan is going to be handed to Grayson Lambert. I think Jacob Eason is getting ready to play in that game. They're going to have a plan for him. I don't know if it's once a quarter, every third or fourth series, what have you, but everything I know about football, I'm watching last 30 years, and what I've seen with guys like Eric Zier and guys like Matthew Stafford, none of them came in and started right out of the box. And I just don't think you do that. I think there's a big downside and not a great upside to it. Now, that said, I think you'll see Jacob Eason play in this game. And I think if Jacob Eason comes in, he takes off and the offense moves with him, well, maybe you put him right back in. But I still think it's Grayson Lambert's game plan against North Carolina. That's Chip talking, not Kirby Smart.
That is Chip Towers of the AJC and Dog Nation. I want to finish up with this because you talked about getting that opportunity to write that article about who Kirby Smart is. And I think that's like that last little domino. We all want to know, okay, who's going to play? But then what is it about this guy that's so different or maybe the same from Coach Mark Richt? Is it, you know, where does that drive come from? What is his overall goals? The best way I could put it, does he look at those details the same way that you hear like Nick Saban did and how there's nothing too small for him not to pay attention to? What kind of guy has he been so far?
He does. Now, what I wrote about this morning, there's two different Kirbys, okay? There's the Kirby that we deal with every day, the coach, and almost adversarial relationship with the media, tight control on information, very Saban-like. And then there's the Kirby that's at home and that's away from the field. And he's really a laid-back and kind of a fun guy, and he's different from Mark Richt in that regard. But what I think a lot of people don't talk about enough is how much Kirby Smart and Mark Richt are alike, particularly when they came to Georgia. The young Mark Richt and the young Kirby Smart are twins, if you ask me. Both of them coordinators of programs. You got to remember, Mark Richt was coming in from Florida State that had finished 14 straight years in the top five. Right. He was the O coordinator and the right-hand man for Bobby Bowden. You got the same situation at Alabama with Kirby Smart. And what you have with Kirby Smart, incredible energy, incredible attention to detail. He's going to get some things out of some players, people like Lorenzo Carter, for instance. He's going to get some stuff out of those guys, I believe, that Mark Richt wasn't able to get out of them anymore. You know, I mean, just he'd gotten to that point where he's not able to cajole that extra energy out of players. Kirby's getting that. He's demanding that right now. You're not going to be anywhere near the field if you're not giving it to him. But that said, I think deep down they're very much the same kind of guy, just at a different time in history.
Well, Chip, we really appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and hopefully you have a fun time out here with your family.
It's a beautiful day. It's great out here. I encourage everybody, if you're anywhere near Smyrna, I've never been in this area. It's beautiful, and it's a lot of fun. Great music, as you can hear in the background.
Don't
right
go too
now.
Far after we get off mic. When we go to break, you and I need to talk about the linebackers.
We'll do it. Hey.
Leonard Connor. We got to get into it.
There's a lot to talk about with Georgia, believe me.
I was going
to
say. At the bouncy house later on.
Yeah, at the bouncy house, too. All right, appreciate the time there, Chip. Chip Towers of the AJC, as well as Dog Nation. All right, coming up next, for those people that are really excited and always use the term Nick Saban-type defense at Georgia, I'm going to give you a number that's going to blow your mind and hopefully put your expectations back to a more normal level. That's coming up next. He's Chris Mooneyham. That's Sean Nerney. I'm Carlos Medina. This is 680 College Game Day.
680 The Fan.
Now on FM at 93.7.
316 Sports Radio, 680 The Fan. It is the soft open of 680 College Game Day. Sean Nerney, Chris Mooneyham, myself, Carlos Medina. We're going to be all over Atlanta starting next Saturday. Going to be at the Whitehall Tavern. Used to be the old Cheyenne Grill. They've now renovated that entire thing. I grew up over there as far as...
Is that
where
we're at?
Yeah, that's where we're going to be at. Okay. That was the very first place when I lived in Atlanta where I would go because I could watch daytime baseball. It's like, all right, well, I don't work until like 8 o'clock, so I'm going to go watch so-and-so play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd go hang out over there. So that's where we're going to be next Saturday. We'll also be bouncing around to so many different bars over the course of the fall, bringing you everything college football. And so this is the first place to get it going. This is our second annual Tailgates and Touchdowns. You heard from Chip Towers, who just joined us over here. We're over here at the Smyrna Market Village. It's a really cool spot to see live music. The live music has gotten going. Headliner going to be our friend Bubba Sparks. He's going to be up there and just going in a few hours from now. We are going to have an interview that the Chuck and Chernoff Show got to do with him, where we went head-to-head with hip-hop knowledge between Chuck Oliver and Bubba. So you'll be able to hear that in about 15. Thank you. It's about 15 minutes from now. But what I wanted to do to start, guys, is give a number that I've done a couple of times this week on 680 The Fan, and it's just to kind of wake you up into to thinking about how Herculean of a task it is when you say, hey, Kirby Smart's going to bring the same defense over to Georgia that was at Alabama. That's what he's going to do. Alabama, since 2008, since their run really got going, remember, Kirby Smart as a defensive coordinator there, this is the dumbest thing you can possibly think of. 41% of the offensive plays that have been run against Alabama since 2008, not just last year, not just 2 years, since 2008, 41% of the plays did not gain 1 yard.
You made that up.
Did not gain 1 yard.
Now can I just ask something of you?
Please.
Can you say that entire statement again? Because people are not going to believe that, and they may not have caught it.
This all coming
you
from...
You have to really soak that in.
You got to soak it in and realize what they were doing there, and when you say, hey, I can't wait for our defense to be as good as Alabama. Know that there's a lot that goes into it, which is including multiple recruiting classes. Okay,
right.
You've got to get the kind of depth to do this. Since 2008, 41% of the offensive plays run against Alabama did not gain 1 single yard.
That's unbelievable.
You start thinking about all the negative plays they've created and how many times that defense put you into 2nd and 12. All right, oh, sack the quarterback. It's now 1st and 18. How many times they put you in these positions where they're able to get you off the field. I think that kind of recalibrates for Georgia fans what they're really asking out of Kirby Smart and how it's going to take some time to be at that level.
Yeah, you said it right there. This is not an overnight process. I mean, this is getting the recruits in there and then building them up for 3 or 4 years and putting out. I mean, how many recruits or draftees did they have last year on the defensive side of the ball?
Quite a few.
They may have more this year on that defensive side of the ball. So this is something that it's year in, year out. It's the true sign of a true program, you know, and it takes some time to get to. And Georgia, they may get to it with Kirby, but it sure won't be next year.
And it's not just the defensive line, by the way. Something that I always love to make sure to articulate to people is also look at the linebackers. Now, we know they've had good linebackers. It's not like that's breaking news. This just in, Alabama's had great linebackers. I'm not breaking news here. But every single year, it seems like they're getting at least the number 2 or 3 ranked guy at the linebacker core, inside or outside, across America. So I'll give you 2 more. Watch out for Ben Davis and Lindell Wilson. Mac Wilson, you may hear him called. Mac is nickname. Mac and Ben, future stars. And they're going to play a little bit, because that leads to my other point. Man, Coach Saban does such a great job of making sure to play his young guys, his second-level guys, even when they're not blowing people out.
Oh, yeah.
In prime minutes. And these two guys are the future. Ben Davis and Mac Wilson are absolute, and I guarantee, I'm making a bold prediction here, Adam.
Uh-oh, bold prediction.
If you're in the car,
you have to take a shot. Yeah. It's another bold prediction from Chris Mooneyham.
These two guys are NFL football players. Right now, they just left high school, and I'm telling you, they're both Mac Wilson, Ben Davis, NFL football players, who you will see on the field at some point next year.
Here's the thing about depth. And that is what Alabama has in just ooze depth.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about 8 or 9 deep that all play on that defensive line, so that as these spread teams start to get things going and they might gain a bit of traction, that's all right. You know what? We got 4 more guys that are going to come right on in here. Hey, linebackers, a little bit worn out from coverage. Here's the next 2 or 3. They're going to come in here. You've had high-end linebackers at the University of Georgia. You could make the argument that the linebackers, as far as an NFL impact, the guys that have been at Georgia have been better than the guys at Alabama, but there hasn't been as many of them. You know, for every Alec Ogletree, they have 4 open. Here's Malcolm Floyd. They've got 4 other guys, Leonard Floyd. They've got 4 other guys where you go, wow, okay, they're all able to do that sort of stuff.
And it speaks to Nick Saban's ability to recruit. He's these guys in. they know full well that they're not going to be playing right off the bat. They may get special teams work. They may, you know, spot.
Right?
Exactly. But they know that they're not going in. But that's the reputation that Nick Saban has built up. You know, he can say, I put 15 players in the NFL this year. And kids are going to beat that up and say, okay, if I have to sit for a year, that's fine. I'll go play for him and sit for a year if I end up in the NFL.
And those guys going to the NFL, they're juniors.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
So because these guys are juniors, you're getting to play earlier. So you're going to get, if you're Mack Wilson and Ben Davis, spot duty here, you're going to play, what, I don't know, 50 snaps the entire year here in your freshman year, maybe 75 most. But guess what? Next year, you're going to play 500, okay? And then, of course, by the time you're a junior, everyone will
be talking about
you.
You're going to be this kind of star. I think this is where they have this society. Has had a very similar level of success as far as being able to bring in running back talent. You know, the last 7 or 8 years, it's been one running back after the next. And a lot of times they're getting two at a time where you go, wow, there's not enough footballs.
Herschel.
There's not enough carries for these guys. But yet everyone realizes, go to Georgia, run in this system, you're going to get an opportunity at pro ball. Alabama's been doing that with their linebackers. LSU has been doing that with their secondary players. If you're a cornerback in anywhere in America, you want to go play at LSU. They've had more drafted. If you're a quarterback in this country, you want to go play for Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. That's been kind of that track record of what's going on of late.
And by the way, since we've mentioned linebackers, I'll go back to Georgia just for a second. Georgia might have the second-best linebacker core in the SEC this year, and there's an outside shot. It could be number one. Here's the only problem for Kirby. Man, he might have too many linebackers.
Yeah.
Because these kids that I'm seeing here, and I could go through a long list of guys that could be potential stars, Lorenzo Carter, Davin Bellamy.
Bellamy and Carter have to be.
They have to
be. They have to be their leading sack guys.
And Atrez Patrick is a guy that I absolutely have to see a major step up out of this year in my mind. Reggie Carter, the South Gwinnett Comet. Sean McGee, the Brookwood Bronco. Rashad Roundtree, Roquan Smith. This could finally be the year for Roquan Smith.
Roquan,
by the way,
breaks through.
This could finally be the year. And a kid named DeAndre Walker, if you haven't forgot about DeAndre, because I know a lot of people have. This linebacker core is going to be unbelievable. And a situation where they could use some of them as faux defensive ends.
And let's point this out, because Georgia Tech was in the same boat last year as Georgia. Georgia, for as much as their defense improved last year, you're talking about a team that only sacked the quarterback 21 times. The numbers were better across the board than what they were the year before, but we've now seen it. Our friend Jimmy Himes, who does Sports Talk Radio and also writes for Gridiron Now over out of Knoxville, he had this really interesting article about how since 2006, the lowest-ranked team to make it to an SEC championship game was the 2008 Alabama team that was seventh in the league in sacks. Everybody else is amongst the first, second, third. It's there's no mystery people that show up. You have to be able to put quarterbacks on the ground.
Makes sense.
Georgia Tech was the same boat last year. They went from 34.5 2 years ago to just 19 last year, and you saw the results.
Well, and the problem was that the second end, people expected big things out of Georgia Tech last year, and one of the big reasons why is because the starting secondary were very seasoned guys. I mean, these were, Chris Milton, Jamal Golden, DJ White. I mean, these were really good guys. The problem was the front seven could get no pressure. So you could have a great secondary, but they're not covering somebody for 10 seconds because there's no pressure. And then you saw, as soon as Adam Gotsis, who was the one consistent pass rusher Tech did have last year, as soon as he went down, the pass rush pretty much just
They didn't have a defensive closer.
No, absolutely.
Sometimes that's what you need, is that defensive closer, right? Hence, 6 one-possession losses. People forget about Tech season last year.
Yeah?
6 one-possession losses in the most excruciating of ways, oftentimes. By the way, I wanted to make sure to tap you about this topic. A.J. Gray, I don't mean to go off the script, Los, but A.J. Gray. I'm telling you, he's my wild card this year. I think he could have just a tremendous year in the secondary for Georgia Tech, a kid that I saw a lot in the high school days.
Take a shot.
An amazing athlete with incredible instincts. This guy's a big game player.
Yeah, and he was one of the guys that does have a little bit of returning experience. He's going to have to be the guy back there because there's nobody else with much game experience. It's him and then I believe the middle linebacker, P.J. Davis. Really, other than that, the front four, you got Keshawn Freeman. He was supposed to be your big sack guy last year, and he, under-impressed, he's going to have to step up his game big time, along with Gray and then Davis in the middle.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, you'll be able to hear from Bubba Sparks in his interview with Chuck and Chernoff as he'll be playing over in front of our festival in just a little bit. But right now, I wanted to bring up a particular factor where Matt Ryan's caught up in it, Tony Romo's caught up in it, all these quarterbacks around the NFL who haven't won a championship are caught up in it. It's the quarterback arc. It's what I always talk about. Every single fan base has a quarterback arc. And the idea is that every quarterback who, you know, high draft pick, shows some ability, every single one of them starts to go up and up and up, and the fan base gets very excited about them. As we brought up earlier in the show, that 2012 season for the Atlanta Falcons was the height. Hey, we're number one seed once again. We're going to be hosting. That was Matt Ryan at the top. Suddenly you have three straight seasons where you're not in the playoffs, and now that arc is starting to point down. Might not even be because of Matt Ryan's ability, but it's because the fan base starts to lose faith that you're the guy to handle the job.
Yeah, and back, you know, Matt Ryan, when he first came up, he was the guy that everyone had. I mean, if we had to come down the field 2 minutes left in the ball game,
done.
Matt Ryan kicked a field goal. Did anybody think that wasn't going to happen?
Always.
It was a lock. Anytime we were under 2 minutes, give the ball to Matt Ryan, he goes down the field. That confidence as a fan base is completely gone now.
He was arguably a top three quarterback in the National Football League,
yeah, and that was
in terms of clutch.
The conversation, and that's the most frustrating part about the Matt Ryan thing, is that there's no one, you know, one answer for this entire thing. This was a guy that we were talking about weekly. Is he an elite quarterback? Is he a top five quarterback? I mean, where are we talking at him right now? Is he a top 15 quarterback? I mean, it's remarkable.
And that's the problem. The fan base starts to, and it isn't reflective of what the organization thinks, because the organization's willing to give you $100 million. But there's a certain point when the fan base starts to go, is this guy going to be with us 5 years from now? Because if you were to tell me 3 years ago, hey, we only have maybe about 5 years left to Matt Ryan, you would say, what, are you crazy? It's like, what, he's only going to play with us till 33? You're wrong. You're totally wrong. But now you're at that point where you're going, I don't recognize the guy that was here just 3 years ago. This one that's been playing in front of me right now, especially over the last 2 years with the turnovers and everything else, he doesn't look anything like that guy.
And you can just see it with the arm strength. And I saw one NFL scout put out, you know, his arm regresses, his arm strength regresses each year. And you really, I mean, you watch the game. Obviously, the play that Julio got banged up, where he banged knees, it was an underthrown deep pass, and Julio had to adjust and ran into the defensive back. But even the completion to Aldrick Robinson along the sideline, if he throws that out in front of Robinson, that's 6 points right there. But instead, you get too much air under it. Robinson has to adjust, and he's brought down as soon as he makes a catch. These are little things that, you know, are coming more and more prevalent in Matt Ryan's game.
As a lifelong Atlantan who has always loved my local teams and the local sports, I hate to say what I'm about to say, because I know so many other locals will feel the same pain and maybe unfortunately say, oh my gosh, you might be right. I think when this thing's all said and done, he's going to have one of the more precipitous drop-offs of any of our top caliber performers for our respective teams in the history of this city. To go from way up here, we thought he was going to be Flacco, lead us to a title. You know, maybe Flacco was the ceiling, but that's okay because we thought we might get a title. But go from up here to down here so quick, it's going to be something that we'll maybe never get over.
Yeah,
it's certainly something we'll talk about for a long, long time.
But you will be able to say if that ends up being the case, and that would not be a lot of fun.
No.
You can almost point at the organization and say, 2013, 2014, when no one over those 2 years got hit more than my quarterback, where you got beaten up, where he was taking 100. Now, here was the crazy part about it. He wasn't leading the league in quarterback sacked, but he was amongst the top three in both years in getting hit. Right. I've got some video that I still have from 2 years ago when they played at Baltimore where he snapped the football. He took one step back, and you had somebody on top of him drilling him as he's trying to throw it away. It's those kind of things, those cumulative hits, that starts to beat up on some of these guys in their bodies.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks like it may, you know, shell-shocked is a term that comes up a lot with Matt Ryan. And when you see happy feet and, you know, not, you're not getting pressured, but you feel like you're getting pressured, you go back to that 2014-2015 season where he is getting drilled so much. And to his credit, most of the time was able to get rid of the ball before he took the hit. But
I'll always put it 55-45 on the organization.
Yeah.
If we continue down this road and we look back on him 8-10 years from now, I'll always put it 55% on the organization.
He's Chris Mooneyham. That's also Sean Nerney. We're going to be 680 College Game Day. We'll be taking you all through the fall every afternoon right here on 680 The Fan. We're also out here, obviously, at the second annual tailgates and touchdowns. You might be able to hear some of the live music that's already gotten going. It'll be going all the way until 9 o'clock this evening. So get on out over to Smyrna Market Village. We're going to be out here. Plenty of Bud Light, let me tell you, as a couple of guys are already starting to partake in
it.
Yeah, I can't wait to jump on that as well. One of the guys, though, that is going to be playing out here that we're looking forward to hearing from is one Bubba Sparks. Big station listener. He's going to be headlining the show tonight. He went ahead and jumped on with Chuck and Chernoff, and we had a really really fun talk, talking about his career and then also a little bit of SEC football and then ultimately a competition between him and Chuck Oliver.
Headlined by the great Bubba Sparks, who is a big Georgia fan. For some reason, listens to this radio show, and go forgive him for that because
rock on, Bubba.
There's got to be better choices. Bubba Sparks joins Chuck and Chernoff on the Grady Health System Newsmaker line. Mr. Sparks, how are you, sir?
I thought everybody loved Chuck and Chernoff. Is that not the case?
I don't know if it's love. I think tolerate's a better way to put it.
No, love's a good word. We're all about love here.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a love affair with me. For many years now.
No,
it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be talking with you guys.
We appreciate it. Hey, I'm looking at the Bubba Sparks Wikipedia page, and I trust Wikipedia is right about a lot of stuff.
So, no, it's not.
I mean, have you checked your own Wikipedia page?
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny about it, though, is we have like some board that sits somewhere. It's like the Wikipedia board, and I don't know. Nobody knows who these people are. And anybody can change the information on there. We tried to change some of the information. It's like way off, but there's like some discrepancies. And we tried to change it a few times, and somebody keeps changing it back. Like, I've even been caught up, like, arguing. My manager's been caught up arguing with the guy, like, or whoever this person is. It's like, one of them's in Canada. He's like, what makes you an authority? I'm like, I'm the dude.
You are the dude. I guess that's what it said. So this isn't on there, Bubba. But I was told by a little birdie that when Bubba Sparks was trying to make his way up in this business, were you really, like, camping out on the couch at John Stinchcomb, Matt Stinchcomb, Steve Herndon, a bunch of guys at Georgia, just trying to...
Well, Steve Herndon is my best friend, my childhood best friend. Like,
that's
so
true.
Yeah, for sure. I spent a lot of time around those guys, especially before I actually moved to Athens. They used to come up, and they were there. The Stinchcomb brothers, they were definitely tired of me. It was more Matt at that time, because Matt's older. I got a cool relationship with all those guys, that whole generation of guys. You know, I was an Alabama fan before I moved to Athens, ironically enough, as much as I hate Alabama now. But, and then when I came to Athens, my best friend came to the University of Georgia. You know, we didn't really think he was going to end up going to Georgia. He came to Georgia. And when he did, and I started coming up to Athens over the years, like, by the time he graduated, I was a dog.
I think a lot of people around here are happy to hear it. Bubba Sparks with Chuck and Chernoff. He's going to be headlining tomorrow. Tailgates and touchdowns at Smyrna Market Village. We want you guys out there with us. He's on the Grady Health System Newsmaker line.
All right, well, part of the bio that I think is accurate says you have 5 top 10 releases. You have had 2 gold discs. Do you actually, does the RIAA, do they still mail you one of those giant gold albums to hang on the wall?
Well, yeah, they'll mail it to you, Chuck, if you send them a check for about $150.
did you mail them? Do you have them? Where are they hanging right now?
You can do a money order, too, I guess. My plaques are just scattered all over the place. I got some at my mom's house. I got some in storage. It wasn't a big deal to me at the time, because you always assume, just like with anything else, like, get to the Super Bowl and lose, I guess. You always assume there's going to be more. I'm going to get back there, you know, like, I'm going to get so many of them, it's not going to matter. But then I just got married in May, and, you know, me and my wife have been talking about, you know, getting them and, like, doing something really nice with all of my plaques. So yeah. That's something I'll probably start efforting in the next year or so.
It's always the wife who wants to clean it up and make the big shrine. And I will say this. We talked about it the other day. Dude, you're wasting away here. How skinny are you right now?
Actually, I feel pretty fat right now. Because I said, you know, like, for the past 6 months, I've been, like, working on a new album and, like, really, really intensely and working in a way, like, in an intense way that I hadn't been in, like, over 10 years. So I've really been, like, in weirdo music mode, and I haven't really been focused as much on the diet, I think it'd be fair to say. But I haven't really gained any weight, but I'm starting to feel, like, you know, I feel a little like breezy and just, you know.
You know what, Bubba?
Some of those old feelings are starting to speak back in.
Go Atkins for about 2 or 3 weeks. You start feeling a lot better. Doughy feeling just kind of goes away.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the Bubba body image issues.
I'm about to hit it hard again now.
Yeah. Hey,
I lost 80 pounds.
I know you did.
Over 80 pounds.
That's what I said. You look tremendous. Okay, before we have you and Chuck in a challenge, I don't even know if I'm supposed to ask you this. I was told I wasn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. So we had fun with the Ludacris rider list that became public when he was in Athens and he performed, and it was like jelly and 6 white T-shirts and a box of Magnums and vodka, and right? There was just like a full list of stuff.
And fruit roll-ups.
That's ridiculous.
What's on yours? Do you know?
Yeah, I was on mine. It's real simple. On mine, it was like a bottle of Channel One vodka and like some water and some hand towels. It's really simple at this point. It was a little bit more complicated back in the day, I guess you'd say. But
what was on? Wait a minute, what was on there back in the day?
Yeah, back before you were married. What was
anything
on there?
That extreme? Just a bunch of stuff that would always go to waste. Mainly, that was how we started looking at it. Like, we get all these fruit plates and. You know, we'd go from wanting to get chicken fingers and chicken wings, like 100 of those, and then we decided we want to be healthy for a few months, and we'd start getting the fruit trays and the vegetable plates and all that stuff.
And I was expecting
over
more.
The years, so much. We get a bunch of different types of liquor and all that stuff, but it was like over the years, you just saw so much stuff go to waste, and so we really, really scaled back all that. It's just not that necessary. And at the end of the day, it does cut into the when you're. Of course, I'm not getting what he gave on his show, like $80,000 or something.
Who knows? Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm not getting somewhere in that area, somewhere in that ballpark, but not close
all right.
to that.
So. Can I ask you, is your wife listening now, do you think?
No, she's not listening.
Right.
She could care less.
Clean it. Do it a clean way. What was life like on the road for you, like 2003, 4? I mean, what was it really like?
Oh, she does know about that part. Yeah, it was pretty wild. Pretty wild.
That's all you're going to give me. It's pretty wild. Okay. All right, Bubba. So here's the deal. You
Bobby,
know,
what do you want me to say? You can imagine, like these stories don't come from nowhere. They're all probably embellished, but they don't just come out of thin air.
All right. I feel like I shouldn't pursue this.
Fame that drives people.
It's the reason three X's are on your last name.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Something about being on TV.
Yeah. I know what it's like, Bubba. All right, so you know Chuck he's a know-it-all. He wants to show off his big brain. So let me get Los in here. We're going to have you and Chuck go head-to-head for a couple of rounds here.
This is a Chuck and Chernoff production.
It's the latest game featuring the man who created such failures as SEC 2 and Elimination NASCAR.
Same here.
As he takes on a man who created such hits Back in the Mud and Miss New Booty. He was made on McCosh Mill Road.
What's happening? What's happening? It's your man, Bubba Sparks. Go Dawgs, baby!
Woo! It's a hip-hop showdown that we're calling Bubba versus Kang.
I feel good about it.
Get ugly.
I'm straight.
Chuck Oliver's ugly.
All right, so here's how this game is going to work. I'm going to take a clip of audio. A lot of this is going to be very recognizable for any hip-hop fans over throughout the South, throughout here in Atlanta. And Chuck, because you always tell me that you're up to date on this sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play stuff that you should know.
Okay.
If you don't know it, but can steal it from you and take the point. So,
but I got first choice.
But you
this.
Got first shot. You always have first shot. So here is the first
hang
piece
on.
Of audio.
If I don't know, can I pass to Bubba and like put the onus on him?
Specific? What's that, Bubba?
Is it generation specific or is it?
Oh, you'll know. 77.
No. This is going to be all in the last like 15 years.
This is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is going to work out well. Okay, so Chuck, all you have to do in this case, in this song, I just want you to identify the artist involved. Okay, here's your first one.
That's Luda.
That is not correct, Bubba. You try to steal the point.
Which
Chuck,
play it more. I couldn't hardly hear. Play it one more time.
You recognize that?
I can't hear it.
No, I'm sorry, man.
I can't hear it either.
That's the Ying Yang Twins, and that's their song Halftime. You always hear it at Saints games, stuff like that. Yeah. So
at least
Bubba's got like a pass because it's hard to hear on the phone. Chuck's got it in crystal clear right here on HD.
He pass. He's recorded with them.
Well, in all fairness to you, Chuck, I don't think that was like a big single or anything.
No, exactly. I mean, if it was one of their more mainstream hits,
sure.
I'm down.
All right.
Well, let's try something that hopefully Chuck, because Chuck always talks about how much he knows about this particular artist. Chuck, all you got to do is if you identify the artist, identify the song.
That's Tupac. And All Eyes on Me.
Yes. All right. I'm actually impressed with that one.
All right,
let's go.
Good job, Chuck.
Bubba with the verbal tap on the head.
There you go. You did a really good job there, Chuck. All right, here's another clip for you, Chuck. Let's see if you can identify just the artist involved here.
Well, it's the Empire.
ride quick and let the coming around the south throw the straight hammers and bows in that old southern south. Please, the resistance in my atmosphere. I'm barely corners in my lag bar, cause that's how we've been rolling here.
Chuck, if you don't know it by now.
Come on, Chuck.
Freak Nasty.
What?
Stop stereotyping, Chuck.
Do you really not know who that was?
Freak Nasty.
It's one of Atlanta's finest. Bubba.
Jermaine Dupri.
Bubba for the steal.
Outcast, Southern Playlist.
One of the greats. Southern Playlist, one of the greats.
Is that a deep cut?
No.
No.
But also, that one ain't nobody on me work the past 15 years. if he focuses, like, research during that period, that could have been problematic.
All right. Yeah, but my whole life is research.
That's what's holding him back, because it's the job. All right, last one. Give me one more.
All right, last one, Chuck. All you got to do is identify the artist here.
Son of GA, and I can never be fake. Everything I create sounds like the peach state, and I drink so much shine I can't even see straight.
Oh, hell.
Take a shot here, Chuck. Do you know who this is?
Oh, that's him.
Oh!
That's Bubba. That is Bubba Sparks.
Hey, but once again, that was not one of those 5 to 10s.
That was a deep cut. That's Bubba, though.
That was well done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good job, Chuck.
We're proud of him. Hey, Bubba, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. It's going
to
be a big time, Smyrna Market Village.
I'm looking forward to it too, guys. I'm really, really stoked. I'm really.
Bubba, can I ask you real quick? Did you play at Troop County with Steve Herndon?
Yes, I did.
All right, I'd actually gone down there in like '94, '95 to scout a Saturday night game against Meta Creek that he was playing in. So I guess you would have been on the field that night too.
Well, we won that game like 53-8. Yep.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I caught a pass that night, and he got a holding call, actually. That's like an epic game, like in the story of our history that I always, like.
He cost you a touchdown.
On the film, you can actually see me, like, screaming, like, you know, pouting and whatever, being mad at him.
I love it. Well, Bubba, look, we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, thank y'all very much, guys. See y'all tomorrow.
All right, it is 343 Sports Radio 680 The Fan, as we're enjoying tailgates and touchdowns. Carlos Medina, Chris Mooneyham, Sean Nerney. So we're taking you in this coverage. We're going to continue live for quite a bit longer. We do have some live music. First act just finished on up. We got another couple acts coming up, including our headliner, Bubba Sparks, who you just heard from. All right, coming up next, though, we knew as college football fans that this was going to happen way back in 2013 in the SEC. We'll tell you about it next, right here from Smyrna Market Village. Tailgates and touchdowns right here on 680 The Fan. There it is. It's Sports Radio 680 The Fan out here at the second annual Tailgates and Touchdowns. Smyrna Market Village, come on out, get yourself some real estate. Got a lot of the stuff going on. Lots of Bud Light already flowing. Got some cloud cover. Things are going to be good. We've got our headliner, Bubba Sparks, is going to be coming to the stage in the next couple of hours. But live music going on all afternoon, so make your way on out here. It's Carlos Medina with Sean Nerney and Chris Mooneyham. As we will be, this is our soft opening for 680 College Game Day. We'll be all over the entire city of Atlanta starting next Saturday over at the Whitehall Tavern right off of Peachtree and the Peachtree Battle Shopping Center. And then each and every place, like a world tour, Nerney, where we'll show up at your neighborhood bar, we'll show up to the place that you hang out at, and you can ask us anything you want about the station, and we'll be totally truthful with
you.
Now,
my one question is, do the bouncy houses, we've got a couple of them here today, do they follow us for the hard opening next Saturday, or is that just for the soft opening?
Barely certain. Now, okay, the football throwing game
will
go with us to a couple of different things when we do the promotion with that. But the bouncy houses, no, this is your one opportunity to get the bouncy house. Right,
well, I got
to
tell you, I know I've said this a couple of times, but I could be wrong. But how big are you?
I'm about 6'3". Yeah, about 6'3", 6'4",
6'4", I think
you're probably right at the cutoff.
Well, I mean, I'll move whoever I need to out of my way to get into one of those. I'm just worried about, I want to make sure they're anchored, because I've seen over the internet over the past couple of years some
flyaways. I'll distract the guy in charge.
And
you can just run in there and just take off.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
all
one
right.
of them's got
Deal.
A Mooney. Basketball net and everything.
Mooney. What I would pay to have him get in one and it flies away.
Anchor it down.
Just
it would...
one of those random gusts that were like, wow, Mooney's like, Mooney, did you see that? He's like 40 feet up there. Nerney's dead, y'all.
So, be periscoping anyway, that.
Just we'll save that for the hard opening.
Yeah, I was going to say, the grand opening of this show next week. We'll see if Nerney can do some death-defying act. All right, wanted to bring this up with you guys because it's another one of those things that we're now seeing it all play out. The NCAA has now asked to talk to
players that went around the rest of the SEC that were recruited by Ole Miss, because they want to find out, okay, was there a big pay-for-play scheme? How much was going on as far as the recruiting? Here's what I remember about signing day of 2013. Got into work, heard from Chip Towers over at the AJC, and he started talking about how, hey, we're just hearing there's some weird things going on with this Laramie Tunsil, because everybody thought Laramie Tunsil's going to Georgia.
Yeah, he was.
And then last minute it was, oh, he's going to Ole Miss. And as you see Ole Miss's class come in, you go, all right, let me get this straight. They got him, and him. That all seems very weird. Now, fast forward to SEC Media Days. You had Hugh Freeze walking around that place like he had the head of Medusa. He was showing everybody, look what I went and got. Look what I've been able to do with my program. This is what, and this is all from 24/7, here's what the recruiting numbers were leading up to 2013 for Ole Miss. They were 23rd in the country in 2010, 20th, 47th, and then 8th. You can tell me that, oh, well, a new coach and he's a recruiter and they were able to turn the tide of recruiting. Mooney, you know that's not how it works in that kind of a dramatic fashion unless there's something greasing the skids.
Yeah, you don't see that drastic of a change. Being on the ground floor at that time, I covered that class in great detail for another media outlet. And here's the other big thing to add another level or layer, if you prefer, to the conversation. We always you don't just talk about in recruiting where the kid is going in particular. You also talk about the schools that are in the conversation. Who these kids put in their top three, who they put in their top five. What teams are in vogue just as getting straight mentions from the kids? Like right now, Georgia is among the list, the top fives of kids that you know for a fact are never going to go to Georgia. But they're so enthralled by what's going on up in Athens, they just want to go visit. They just want to go see what's going on, even though you know they're not going there. For Ole Miss, in that two-year stretch, to go from not being on any of these recruits' radars to all of a sudden landing these guys, especially Tunsil, who I think he didn't visit Ole Miss for the first time until mid-January, if memory serves. Now, don't hold me to that one. I could be wrong.
But that's the thing that
interests me. But he wasn't on their list in December.
If a guy's going to make a four-year commitment and sometimes a three-year commitment to a university, there's normally a trail of they've talked to him. He went to their junior day.
Right.
He's been going here and this and this. For you to suddenly go from haven't considered to suddenly going, Nerney, you got to think, these are the kind of programs where you're like, punish them, like just punish them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew and we saw this happen during right before the draft. I mean, you couldn't be more blatant with the stuff that came out of Ole Miss in that 24 hours. You had the video with the bong. And then right afterward, the most damning information that I believe,
they're paying
the conversation asking with Tunsil asking for money for his, you know, utilities or for whatever. This may go down, and we may find out more, like, you know, more stuff that this program did, you know, comparative to other programs, and this may take the cake.
Mooney, here's the thing that's so different about it in this day and age. Like, when you're SMU, you have to have this paper trail of, all right, we're paying these guys. Most of the time, that doesn't happen. It's this element of social media where suddenly there's this documented proof of, here's everything that's gone on over at this university.
Right. Again, the drastic nature of how things shifted, and it can be documented in numerous ways, where you go back and you check the timeline, and all of a sudden, this guy loves Ole Miss.
You have a red flag.
You haven't even been to Hotty Toddy. You didn't even go visit them yet, and all of a sudden you love them. Something just doesn't add up. And by the way, just really quick, off topic, I have no problem with the NCAA talking to recruits at other schools. I understand why some people do, but I don't understand why some people are so angry about it. If one of you guys
I have no problem with the interest of getting a full picture.
I don't have a problem
with
they're
not going after these kids. They're not trying to discipline the kids they're talking to, right?
After Ole Miss. No,
yeah,
they're not.
Yeah,
they've
they're
given
trying
them
to go after
full
Ole Miss.
Immunity.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's the whole idea. Just tell us about what was offered to you. You know, if we had had this sort of paper trail, if maybe we had the same sort of social media, maybe Auburn's not holding up a trophy from 2010 where that was really funny how suddenly the top player in Arkansas decides I'm going here. Yep. The top player decides I'm going here. And, oh, by the way, no, Auburn didn't offer Cam Newton anything. Mississippi State talked to him about his price, but there was no money exchange with anybody, especially over at Auburn, even though he went there for free. That was the sort of thing where I think we've had it where people around college football have been waiting to go, the next one you get, drop the hammer.
And this is it. The day of social media. That's the outlet to use this kind of stuff. This is social media to throw the videos out there, to throw the text message chains out there. That is your vice, to throw all this information so college football fans really know the deep down dirt in these programs.
This will never. We will never see another death penalty. No. Laid upon a program.
Too much money involved.
Too much money, too many people, too much high exposure. But I do believe that one of these days there's going to come a time where somebody's going to get the modern-day equivalent of a death penalty. Now, what that would be, that's another point of discussion, I think. You know, a five-year bowl ban, take away, I don't know, 15 scholarships. That would be astronomical.
That would be very painful.
That would be very painful.
Because you know what no longer happens anymore?
Yeah.
We no longer have, because of the contracts involved, there's no such thing as, yep, we're taking you off TV for a couple of years. I'm like, that's never going to happen.
That will not work.
You're right. The death penalty will never happen. Now it has to become the extreme cases, going to hit you with 15, and you figure out how it's going to take you the better part of a decade to rebuild the program.
And the only reason I brought that up is because I do also think that this could be the case where you guys were saying this could be the one where they really lay the hammer down. I completely agree. This could be something that we remember for years and years to come.
It's 680 The Fan, second annual tailgate and touchdowns. We're out here at the Smyrna Market Village. I want to say thank you to our sponsors. It's Bud Light, Georgia's Own Credit Union, Zaxby's, D. Geller & Sons, Zuka Bar, and Pizzeria. Going to actually be in there in just a little while. Atkins Park, Life University, and, of course, Georgia Natural Gas Stage is what we have going on over there, as well as Onward Reserve. Also, we had our acts. We already had Scotty Cram come through. Funk You is going to be hitting the stage here. Funk You will be on stage in just a bit. And Bubba Sparks is going to be bringing it down here in just a little while as well. All right, coming up next from out here at Smyrna Market Village.
What?
Scoring.
Tell us what's coming up.
Scoring in college football. I hope you love it because you're getting a ton of it, and you're going to continue to get a ton of it. We'll talk about that next. He's Chris Mooneyham. That's Sean Nerney. I'm Carlos Medina. This is 680 College Game Day.